Good morning. We are back here this October the 13th. We are here and we have a little bit of a different Monday crew this morning. We have Roger in the producing room. We have Miss Gretchen, as always, though. We have two constants here. So how are you, Miss Gretchen?
I'm doing very well.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then we have Miss Crystal. She hopped over from Tuesday back in time to Monday. So how are you
doing? Good morning. I'm doing well.
And then, of course, myself. And we do have a guest today. Brother Jim Waters is planning to call in and inform you guys about what's going on in our state and what, you know, he always talks about what they're working towards with school choice and just different things that they are praying and working towards in with BIPs there, the Bluegrass Institute. I think I need a drink of water. I was hearing Crystal get like that too
this morning.
When you're not used to opening up right away, it's. Yeah. But we will miss Pastor Aaron today and. Forgive us for in the Bible study portion because a lot of us were out last week. So it was like a shutdown week, even though the broadcast was still going. So our little Bible study section will maybe look a little bit different today. But we'll get into the Word of God. That's
Amen.
All that matters.
That's right.
We'll get into the Word of God. So don't forget to text in if you have any Bible questions or just a topic of discussion that you'd like to talk about, you would like us to talk about, to address. You can text me at 270-589-7933. And for the trivia, I have that right here by me. So we'll do our trivia as usual. And it'll be a good day in Jesus' name. It's going to be a good day.
It's a cool day. I know that. It's very cool. It's like my little dog, I don't know what she's going through. She's an inside dog. And here lately, she just wants to stay on my screened-in porch. And I'm like,
hey, I don't blame her. That thing's cool.
Excuse me. And so, you know, like yesterday and today, she will not come inside. She wants to sleep on the rocking chair. Stayed out there all last night. It was probably, got down in the late, low 40s, wasn't it?
Now, I don't know if I'd stay out there all night.
And I know. And I went and brought her a blanket. She kicked it off the chair. And I was like, well, excuse me, maybe she's hot. I don't know what
having
she's
hot
going
flashes.
Through.
Uh-oh.
This morning, tried to get her to come inside before I left. No way. She wasn't coming in. I'm like, well, okay, I guess she's ready for winter. So I put her food and water on the screening porch and I left. But it's beautiful weather, isn't it?
Oh,
we had a great time over the
yes.
weekend as far as the weather. It was just absolutely mm-hmm. gorgeous.
The fall bash went well.
Yeah, it did.
Had a big turnout.
Yeah, it was. When you say, anyone come. You know, he'd say, you know, it's kind of dangerous, you know. So I thought, is there going to be five or is there going to be?
5,000?
I would say probably about 50 people, wouldn't y'all think, came through that day, or if not, a little more.
A little more maybe,
yeah.
You know, coming and going.
Yeah, coming and going, yeah. So it was a great day. We were so excited. My gumbo didn't turn out like I wanted, but it was okay. The chili went,
It was really good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad that it was made how it was, actually, because baby Ezra got to eat it.
Oh,
like, it wasn't too spicy for him.
I don't make mine spicy,
okay,
but for some reason, my chicken fell apart. And you have to cook gumbo the day before. It has to be over... You don't have to, but it's the best if you do it overnight. Let it sit, rest, they call it. And then the next day you reheat it. Well, when I reheated it, it's like my chicken went. But anyway, it was a great day. We had great fellowship.
It was so
and
good.
We were wore out, but it was a good war.
Great weather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So many babies.
Yeah, I mean, they
around.
Were, and teenagers, they were
teenagers,
everywhere.
Yeah. Scattered.
Yesterday after church, you know, we had another little gathering, and little Gabe Taylor, I was sitting in, and I don't have a great relationship with him or anything, you know, but he walked in, he's three for our radio listening audience, and he walked over to me and he tapped me on the shoulder and I looked down and he said, hey. I said, well, hey, Gabe, how are you? And he said, I remember we went to your house yesterday. I said, you do? And he said, yeah. And we had a hayride. And I said, did you like that? He said, I like that. And I said, well, you'll have to come again. And he's like, okay, I will. And then he ran off.
It was actually really funny. Before we get into some announcements here, he said he was in the house when I was putting the baby to sleep. And he was asking me some questions. He said, so whose room is this? And it was your and Todd's room. And I said, oh, that's Crystal and Todd's room. Don't go in there.
No,
but it would have been, you know, but he was just asking questions. And he said, so why are we here?
I think we all asked that question at some point.
Yeah, and so I was like, I'm going to go with the not deep answer. We're here for a fall party. And then and I said, you know, we're church family, so we like to gather together. And he said, oh, it's like he was reflecting on it, like, okay, we're gathering. He was putting two and two together. Yeah. It was just so cute.
He is very cute. That age is so fun.
But it was good.
We have a bunch of grandbabies right in that range, and they are a blast. So,
well, speaking of fall activities, if you have anything, if your church has anything, I am not up to date with all the events going on. So you can text them to me. You can email them to us at studio1@box2radio.com. And we can try to get those on our event calendar, because I know that there's stuff going to be, you know, coming up in this time of year. So we will get it out for you. Something that I want to go ahead and announce that was sent to me yesterday is tomorrow in Litchfield on the town square, there will be a vigil for Charlie Kirk at 6:30. Right. So there will be that gathering to honor him at 6:30. Central Time in Litchfield, Kentucky, on the square. So
they also had an announcement too that they will not be blocking off the square. So they said you're just going to have to
be able to drive.
Yeah. So you're to me that's kind of dangerous because they're going to leave it open. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm sure it'll have a good turnout. So they were saying just be careful in your parking, be careful wherever you're at, because there will be cars it's coming gonna be through. Open. So, and I've also heard through Flashpoint that you wear a red shirt for Charlie Kirk in memorial.
Wear a red shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tomorrow's his birthday, right?
Right.
Melody's birthday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess they're having several, you know, every, you know, all across
the
nation.
All across the nation, yes.
Mm-hmm. Vigils for him. So if you want to be a part of that, I'm sure that there's even local to you, I'm sure that there's some sort of gathering going on. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Hinesville area or the Owensboro, I would seek that out, find where you can gather. But if you want to make a little drive, then you know for sure there's having something in Litchfield.
Right.
So that will be good. And if you have any other announcements, just get them in 270-589-7933. I can get them added to our event calendar. Do you guys know of anything?
No, Friday night's volleyball game
here
at Bethel Christian Academy. Well, there is one tonight also. Is it here, though? Uh-oh.
I'll find that out.
But anyway, I know Friday night is our regional tournament, and so they'll be having that. And also I can get the
Friday
time for that.
Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, yeah. So that's always a good time. Tonight, I don't know because my thing is not in color. Our schedule is blue for, I don't know why it's not, because I took a picture of it. So I don't know. Maybe somebody can let us know. But there is a game tonight. I'm pretty sure it's here. I'm pretty sure. No, wait a minute. Let's see.
I know the tournament is here.
Yeah,
right?
The tournament is Friday night. Tonight is away. Sorry. Okay, yes.
Okay. So, and then that's Friday and Saturday this weekend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the fall, Chili cook-off, yeah. All these events.
That's the 25th, October 25th, here at the Bethel
BCA
Christian.
Gym.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And this year it's for the school, right? Mm-hmm. To help support, it's a fundraiser for the school. It's a lot of fun. If you've never been, there's auction, there's food, there's chili. There's games for kids and adults. I think Jason voted.
Be sure and tell Gabe there's a hayride.
Oh, yeah, I didn't tell Gabe that. Yeah, there's a hayride. But I think Jason Miller voted that we would not have a jail this year. They usually have the jail. And I think he gets stuck in it a lot because you can pay
probably why he voted.
But he voted against the jail this year. But it's great. There is an auctioneer that comes and it's a great fundraiser. So
yes, yeah, it'll
come
be
on
a great
out
time.
For that. I believe that is also at 5 o'clock, isn't it? I think 5 o'clock chili.
I think all the activities start at 4. Doors open at 4. The chili.
The meal will start
at 5. And
yeah,
then
and
the
auction's at
6.
Yes.
Of course, we always have a contest there for the best chili.
Right.
The mild, medium, and hot.
That's right. So if you want to enter your chili, if you think it's great, that's October 25th. Come on out here to Bethel Christian Academy. And like I said, there's usually some really awesome prizes that you auction.
Yes.
And Todd gets carried away. So, Todd, if you're out there.
Let some other people bid.
No, he'll bid against them.
Oh, well, that's fun. That's fun to watch. Yeah. So. Well, also don't forget, no, this is, you know, you have a little bit, but November 14th is the Bethel Ladies Meeting with mm-hmm. Renee Otterburn. She will be speaking. She's from New Life Faith Church. Those of you who listen on here, you know her. She's on with us on Thursdays as a co-host, and we just all love her so much. We are very excited for her to join us that night. So even if you're not a part of Bethel and you are, you know, maybe you want to connect with her, you listen on Thursdays and, you know, she's spoken into your life, come out and join us. Don't be afraid. I know we're Bethel, but don't be afraid to come join us. We won't shut anybody out. Not no matter the denomination.
Well, it's for all churches,
it's all churches included.
Yeah.
We mm-hmm. just host it here, but it's yeah. for it's open to the community for ladies to be able to come. And I already know of a you know of a few people who are from different churches who you know have this on their calendar. So mm-hmm. we have several ladies who come from different backgrounds, different churches, and I love that. I love to gather with the full body of Christ right, from right. different churches, and so it's going to be great. It's going to be a potluck. You can bring a chili or a soup or a side. That's what the menu is going to be. That's the theme is soups and sides. So, and then of course there's always going to be dessert. So if you have a favorite dessert, you can bring that. Somebody was talking to me yesterday about how women just go straight for the desserts before their meal.
And well, you
like,
get tired of, you've tasted your food all day long that you've cooked and you get tired and you're like, just give me something that someone else made. You know?
So that will be fun. And, that'll be good. So yeah. we'll get going into some word here. Now we still have, there's still that challenge going on. I think Crystal, you said the reading the Bible challenge should be in Mark.
It's definitely in Mark. But I got behind on Saturday because we had that big gathering. Uh-huh. And I want to say we should be, if you're did yesterday too, I think we should be in Mark 12.
Mark
I could
12.
Be wrong.
It should be near it
I
though.
Think Mark, Friday was Mark 1 through 3. And then 6 through 9. No, then we'd be almost, I don't know. It's either 12 or 15.
yeah.
So, but anyway, we can start wherever y'all want to start.
Yeah.
We can go.
We can start in 12. And I'm sure that there's some of you who maybe want to join, but, you know, you've gotten behind too. A lot of people have been traveling. But, I mean, I don't think it's too late to still join. I don't think it's too late to catch up.
All.
You know,
yeah.
it's not very much to catch up on. I'm behind too.
So, if you don't know what we're talking about while Hannah's looking up other announcements, October 1st, I think it was. We were here on the radio, and Pastor Aaron just had the idea. I think it was a pastor or something that was talking about how he read Matthew 1 with the genealogies, and sparked something. He was a tribal chief or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who the story was, but anyway. And he got so much out of reading the tribal mm-hmm. chiefs. I mean, I'm sorry, the genealogy. I'm
yeah.
sorry. And he was a tribal chief. Anyway, and because they didn't have that kind of lineage. Their
yes.
lineage could only go back so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so to see this was awesome. So we just started talking about it. Well, anyway, we started having a challenge of reading. And so we said, Pastor Aaron figured up all the calculation. And from that day until the end of the year, if we read the New Testament, we could read it together. So every day we were reading three chapters. So when you miss like I did, then I don't really know exactly where we're at. It's either 12 or 15, I'm pretty sure. But someone, because I did it up until Friday, and then the weekend I got lost because of gathering and churches and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I think that's where we're at. But Hannah, if you want me to go ahead and start, we can. Or did
Somebody
you have more
said,
things?
One of the listeners said we should be at 9, 10, and 11, but I was going to look that up real quick.
6, 7, 8,
and that,
nine.
There's 28 chapters in Matthew.
Well, if you start Mark
so,
1, 2, and 3.
I think we should be in, right. I think we should be 9, 10, and 11
okay.
today.
Well, then
yeah.
I'm almost caught up then. I thought we were ahead.
I think
I'm,
so. If
I
just,
wrong.
If I did my math
well, let's
right.
do 9 then. Okay.
I think you should have finished 8 yesterday.
So what's going on then? We've kind of messed up with, you know, not being on the radio. And
yeah, I wasn't here Tuesday, so I don't know where they were. But I just kept reading three a day. And I know Friday I was in Mark, so I must have got ahead somewhere. I don't know. And so then I was thinking Saturday, Sunday, and here we are Monday, so we should be. But that's okay.
Yeah.
We can go to 9.
Now, if you started, I did it from October 1st.
Yeah,
I think that's when
he said to start the Wednesday.
Yeah,
yeah,
started.
That's what we did.
So
Okay.
That's awesome.
Well, let's get going. And unless you, did you have anything else, Hannah?
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to. Nope. That was our listener. They were helping us out here.
Thank you so much.
Chapter 9.
So I'm not as far behind as I thought I was. That's awesome.
Yeah. And this is about the time we start, you know, getting into the Bible study. So we're on track.
We're right on track.
And if you all have any comments, or even if you've been reading and you just have something, I think it would be awesome during this time to send in your comments, send in your Bible questions, because, I mean, this is how we find new Bible questions and new topics, is when we go back and we read through places that maybe we haven't read in a while, so, or we're just taking another look at it again. So we'll turn to Mark. I know we just did a study in Mark.
Let's laugh because Pastor Aaron said it's Mark 12.
He did?
Yeah. So anyway, let's just go to 9. We already said we're going to 9. Let's go to 9. All right. I'll start and then y'all chime in. Or do y'all want to start? Whatever.
So you're going to just read it? Start reading?
I guess. Is that what we're doing?
We can. Yeah.
We'll just start and see how far we get. Let's do that. Then Jesus said to them, "I assure you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come in power." After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves to be alone. He was transformed in front of them, and his clothes became dazzling, extremely white, as no launderer on earth could whiten them. Now, my Bible translation is different. You can tell it's like ESV. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Is it good for us to be here? Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because he did not know what he should say, since they were terrified. A cloud appeared overshadowing them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." What does your translation say in the King James? Basically the same?
The hear him.
My beloved Son.
Hear him.
Hear him. Mm-hmm. Okay, listen to him.
"This is my beloved Son. Hear him."
Then suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept this word to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. Any comments?
No. I feel like we're kind of on a rerun, you know, because we just come out of Mark.
Oh, okay. All right.
But the transfiguration is... There is so much there, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody just sent me, "Get some gratitude in your attitude." Oh, man, that reminds me. You know, I've been saying, you know, how I'm doing is full of gratitude. So, yeah. Hannah, how are you doing? I'm full of gratitude. I just got that texted in. But I do think that there's so much in the transfiguration, and yeah. We went through this, but I think we focus so much on the fact that they wanted to build the tabernacles, mm-hmm. But I think that there's so much more there. Like, I think we should not get tripped up on the fact that they were wanting to honor the Moses and Elijah, but I think that if we put ourselves in the situation and just realize what a huge moment this is, mm-hmm. in the Gospels, then we'll see that, you know, I think the Lord, he deals with it. He says, you know, to hear him, to listen to Jesus, but he doesn't smite them.
Right.
You know, he could have struck them down, but mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just me. But I think that we focus on the negative in this a lot of how dare they try to build the tabernacles for the other ones. But mm-hmm. the Lord didn't even really, didn't discipline them in an extreme way. He just redirected them. Mm-hmm. He redirected their attention mm-hmm. to Jesus. And I think that's a word for us, that sometimes our focus just has to be redirected back to Jesus, because we start to look at a man, we start to look at, you know, what we can see mm-hmm. with our natural eye, mm-hmm. and the Lord's trying to get us to see, come up higher and see from his perspective.
Who he really is.
Who he really is.
You know. But then I think, too, that he didn't want them to just sit there and just look up and gaze upon him.
Yes.
Go down the mountain and get busy about advancing his kingdom.
Too.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Aaron had a, and I don't want to change veins here, but I just... I kind of heard this in my spirit this morning. Yesterday he read 1 Thessalonians 5, and he was giving us instruction about rejoicing and actually just instruction from the Word, you know. And I was reading, because you mentioned about Jesus being human, and I'm not taking away at all from how you said it. But when we read about the story, let me get to where I wanted to go, because I read this in Mark. And again, if it gets too much off of what we're at, it's okay. But
no, I think it's good, because I hope that others will bring out what they've read in Mark as
right.
we go along, or in the study as we go along.
Well, if you go back to Mark 1, and this is where I read this Friday, actually, too, and I was kind of pondering on this. You know how, you know, the word is active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And you know, you can read something like, y'all have read Mark on here, mm-hmm. and then we're reading it again, and it is kind of repetitive, but sometimes the words just pop. And,
yeah.
and I think that's the Lord just shining his word. He's revealing his revelation to us. And what I was actually, you know, you said the transfiguration, we wanted to make it, you know, get our eyes off that he was a man. I get that. And this is my beloved son. He was magnificent. He's awesome. He's God. But what this just melted my heart, because I got a picture in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in Mark 1, verse 29. And I know we just jumped all the way back, but this is the healing of the mother-in-law. But what jumped for me was, it says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he went to her. This is what I love. He took her by the hand. And one translation says, and he lifted her up. And I got a picture of Jesus going in there and helping her sit up. You know, and
yeah.
making her sit up, you know, and I don't know why that just, it hit my heart. What a loving God, you know,
yeah.
what a compassionate God that it says he took her by the hand. You know he's magnificent, as we saw in the Transfiguration,
mm-hmm.
and the Bible came, I mean, the word came down and said, this is my beloved son, you know,
yeah.
he's beloved, and he's my beloved, and I am his, you know, and so when we see this, that he's so compassionate, and he cares about every living little thing. And Pastor Aaron yesterday reading in 1 Thessalonians about be at peace among yourselves, you know, work with others, rejoice at what you have, be thankful. And you get a picture of Jesus. He goes in and the family's distraught. You know, they're like, oh gosh, she's sick. Help us, you know, and she's probably like, you know, I'm so sick. And he walks in and he goes over and he just takes her hand. You know, and I got this picture in my mind of a God that is magnificent, who can transfigure, you know, have
That's
a transfiguration.
So
but here he can walk over and he takes her hand and he just raises her up in the bed. It says he
yeah.
raised her up, you know, and I don't think it meant, I mean, because the other translation, what does the King James say? Does it say lifts her up, lift her up?
Lifted her up.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I don't think
ESV
it was anything like he lifted her up off the ground. In my mind, I don't know why. I just saw him just helping her kind of sit up and raising her up and saying, hey, come
yeah.
on, you know, and just helped her. And he had compassion for her. And we read all through the Gospels about how, you know, when he saw the thousands, he had compassion, you
yeah.
know, and this God. I think it was in Matthew 8, it says he touched her hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so all through the Gospels, it says that. And then
many times in those situations, it would say he had compassion.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how
he was moved
right.
with compassion.
He was
mm-hmm.
human, and he's a God that is powerful, that can cause demons to flee when he walks. You know, he caused all these things, you know. He is God. He's,
yeah.
You know, we can't even describe with English words how magnificent our God is, how awesome our God is. But at the same time, he went into this mother-in-law's room and he touched her hand. Now,
yeah.
that was the power, I'm sure, going forth. But at the same time, he was in a human form
mm-hmm.
and he touched her hand. Can you imagine Jesus touching your hand? Just, you know how it is
no.
sometimes when somebody, like, you know, your spouse or your friend or what, somebody comes over and just touches you, and sometimes you just need a hug, and
yeah.
sometimes you need somebody to hold your hand, you know, though, you know, as Miss Gretchen knows, because she was married, we're still married, but sometimes just holding your spouse's hand was just, you just need that sometimes,
yeah.
you know,
you just
and
need physical
right, or when
touch.
You're sick, somebody coming over saying, here, let me fluff your, you know, let me help you sit up,
yeah.
you know, and then the fever left. Of course, it was his power.
Yeah.
Of course, mm-hmm. he raised her up. He caused her to be healed. But I saw a picture of mm-hmm. a God that just comforted her. Probably brought her some soup. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
That's so good. That is so good.
Though. And then let's look in John 21. This one's a little different, but it's still Jesus. It's a little long, but I'll try to read it fast. Just chapter 21 of John, verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Twin, Nathanael from Canaan, Zebedee's sons, and two of his other disciples were together. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. We're coming with you, they told him. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. However, the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Men, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? Here's Jesus again, just as not a mama, but a mama's heart. Oh, let's feed them. You know, in the French, we call it laver, where you just sit around and you fellowship and you feed everybody, you know. And he says, men, you don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. Therefore, the disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer garment around him, for he was stripped, and plunged into the sea. Have you ever seen Forrest Gump when he jumps off the boat, Bubba Gump's boat, and he not without thinking, he sees his friend, and he just runs and jumps right off the boat and just, you know, and leaves the boat, and the boat goes and hits the dock, you know. I could just see Peter just jumping out, you know, in the water. But since they were not far from land, 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus told them. So Simon Peter got up, hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Come and have breakfast, Jesus said. You know, and that's just Jesus. He's like, you know, he's performed all these miracles. He's risen from the dead. And he goes, and I know there's spiritual meanings to this. There's all kind of teachings that come out of this. But I've just, since Friday, just saw Jesus as taking that woman's hand, and now with the disciples, he goes back and he shows them the holes in his hands. I know all the miracles, so I'm not taking away of, you know, how divine our God is, mm-hmm. but I'm saying he was also had compassion and love, you know, and he said, let me just cook you some breakfast, you know. Yeah. And so he goes and he wants to laver. He wants to sit there and just fellowship with his disciples. He knows he's fixing to leave, but he still, and he wants to pour into them. You know, and that's what Pastor Aaron taught yesterday about we should be doing as the body of Christ also. Yeah. We should be pouring into others and rejoicing. And he gave different testimonies of things, how, you know, they reached in testimonies. Mm-hmm. And Dalton got up of something that gave of themselves. Yeah. And Jesus could have just went straight up into heaven and said, forget it. I tried to tell him. I don't know. You know, but he came back and he said, remember, and he said, look, and he said, come fellowship, let's sit down one more time, let's sit down here, mm-hmm. and let's talk about it.
Yeah, the verse that comes to me when you're giving these examples is that he knows what we need before we ever ask. He knows what we have need of, and he knew that all of these men, they still had a longing in them, and they needed him. And not only the men, the women too, you know. Remember Mary, she tried to hold on to it. She tried to embrace him. And he said, you know, don't touch me now. But I think that was part of him even fulfilling that need that she had by coming back. Like, and it wasn't just her. It was all of them.
Right.
That he knows that we have that need of a father's embrace. Mm-hmm. Not just a father that's far away, but a father that's near. That is there to actually physically be with us, to mm-hmm. eat with us, to spend time with us. And that gives me hope. And I hope that gives listeners hope this morning that he knows what we need. Mm-hmm. And he will be that. And he showed us that, because like Crystal said, he could have just, after he ascended, never came back.
Right.
He could have, you know, the Lord did say hear him, mm-hmm. but he could have just spoke the words of life to us and not showed it to us.
Yeah, exactly.
But he actually showed it. He lived life, mm-hmm. and he walked, and he did, even though we weren't, you know, we could say, well, man, I'm so, which I think all of us would say that we're jealous of the disciples and those who actually like physically got to be with him every day. But through the Spirit, though, I do believe, and through these accounts that we see, they're coming to life. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the same when we read that, like when Crystal read that about him lifting the woman up, mm-hmm. like you can feel that.
Right.
And even though it's maybe not the same as one day it will be when we get to be with him face to face, but we can hold on to that.
That's right.
To that comfort of, well, he lifted her up and he will lift me up too.
That's right.
And he's just as near to mm-hmm. us through in the Spirit as mm-hmm. he was them. It's just not yet time for, you know, the manifestation of that. But I think that's the verse that came to me, is he knows what we need before we ever ask.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah.
So that was so good.
And we see it throughout the scriptures. I mean, it's his relationship with the children, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the sinner, the religious, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. he addresses each situation, you know, just like in imperfection, you know, just like it should be.
right. And you know, you could look at all the miracles in the Bible that he did. Each one were filled with compassion. You know, mm-hmm. the woman that came, and how does the story go? It just came to me about throwing the bread to the dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about mm-hmm. that one.
I thought about that the other day.
You know, at first he was like, woman, and then she's like, and he just said, you know,
even
what?
The dogs get the crumbs.
Yeah,
the table.
Yeah, exactly. And she and he's like, you know what? You're right. You know, and he's like, your faith. You know, and so it's like he's God. He's divine. There's no other way to say it. He's God. You know? But at the same time, this compassionate God that loves, corrects, mm-hmm. does all kind of things for us. You know, a parent corrects, they do. So it's not all about, oh, Jesus loves everybody. And, it, you know, mm-hmm. it is about sometimes that love is correction. Mm-hmm. Romans 12, I wanted to read that real quick. It kind of goes along with the First Thessalonians. Tell uh-huh. me when we need to take a break, too, because I'm just talking.
You can go ahead. Okay. I mean, we can take this break after you get done, because we can take it any time. We just have to take our 8 o'clock.
So. Well, Romans 12. And verse 13, well, I'll just start in verse 9. Love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good, show family affection to one another with brotherly love, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer, share with the saints in their needs, pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be in agreement with one another. Whew. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. And that's what Jesus, you could see Jesus mm-hmm. all through this. Mm-hmm. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. That's what Jesus did. Even those that hated him. Father, forgive me. Forgive them. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for his wrath, for it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But just instruction after instruction of how Jesus lived. And, you know, and then Paul takes it and says, look, this is how he lived. You know, we need to live that way. Mm-hmm. Be in agreement. You know,
just go ahead and finish the chapter there.
Well, go ahead. Well, I just took my glasses off. Put it back on. I can read.
2021.
If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. And I think Pastor
he
Aaron
did. He quoted that one.
To, you know, so of just seeing Jesus go over and touch her hand, you know, and lift her up. I don't know if that literally means he lifted her up in the bed, but that's mm-hmm. how I saw it.
I would think so.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what I saw.
I mean, I don't want to say definitely, he could have done it, but I don't think he was lifting her up like Simba with Lion King.
He might have took her by the hand and yanked her up, though.
I don't think he was bench pressing her.
It's kind of like, though, you with every miracle like that, you always see an action taking place that mm-hmm. even the person, you know, had to submit to, you know, like... you know, putting mud in their eyes or you know, just taking her hand and, you know, she was sick, you know, mm-hmm. but, you know, he helped, you know,
pull her up.
Come up, you know, so.
And that's
coming
how we
out
should,
of that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how we should be with, it says, with each other, you know, mm-hmm. And so it just, the part about hospitality, I don't know. And it was just silly because I told Todd, I said, I guess because we moved kind of farther out, we don't see anybody that much anymore. We used to live right here on Bethel, and we saw everybody. And so we moved farther out and through time. And then I, you know, I went through seasons and then got healed. And so now it's like, I want to live. I want to do things. I want to. So I told him, I said, why don't we have just a gathering? And so first it was just, well, we invite the kids. And I'm like, well, why don't we just, you know, and then it just kept growing. But I, even though I was tired, I worked on it a lot during the week, you know, trying to get, you know, the yard mowed, all the things you do when people are coming over. And I was really tired, but it's like I felt such compassion and love. I felt I wanted to share our home. I wanted to share food. I wanted to break bread. I wanted to take the kids on the side by side. We wanted for little Gabe do the hayride, and it blessed me so much. Yeah. Though, I mean, you know, it's better to give than to receive. And when he came up and said, "I remember going to your house," it's like you want people to remember that your home is open. And I haven't always been that way. Todd, I can tell you, the house had to be, you know, meticulous. Had to be perfect if anybody came over, and it was clean and it was good. And he said I stressed a little bit, and maybe I did, but not like I used to. I used to couldn't handle it. It was too much. Now it's like I want to do it, you know.
I think that's the love of the Father. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Just reaching and touching somebody's hand, you know, and helping them up in the bed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
that's kind of like your, you know, what you went through.
Right.
You know, you felt that love and compassion from others.
Yes, I do.
And you want to,
you want to give back.
Now it's your turn.
Right, that's right. I went through I was diagnosed with cancer and had to go through procedures and all that kind of stuff. But I'm healed. I'm totally healed. And I came out on the other side saying, I'm ready to live. You know, someone told me, well, why don't you just go rest for a while? And I said, rest? I've been resting for 2 years. I'm ready to move and to go. You know?
A lot of people say, I'll rest whenever I have my perfect body.
Right. Now, don't get me wrong. I like to rest. I like my time, you know. But, there's such a short time. And I think, you know, we're not exalting Charlie Kirk, even though he was a martyr, and we should acknowledge honor it, you know. I think it shifted something in all of us, though, and I don't know what my part is. And, you know, we're all asking the Lord, what is our part? But we're ready. And if it's nothing but having a hayride or having a volleyball for Gabe, you know.
But that could be spiritually more impactful than we could ever realize.
Yeah.
I was noticing that, too, over the weekend, having a few people over and just thinking about what God's done in their life and how he's brought them. Like, for some people, depending on the season that they've been in, say somebody who's been in isolation for a while, coming to someone opening their home to them may be a shift in their spiritual life of coming out of isolation and coming into community and getting that next step to be able to do the next thing. And, you know, especially people who battle with depression, people who battle with extreme anxiety, like them coming and getting out of their home could be the next thing that unlocks the next season in their life.
That's right.
And I know it sounds like silly to some, but people who are in darkness or who have been in just a heaviness, you know, or just in a wilderness, that could be for them, or a child that just needs some more people to pour into them, you know, and it's just, it is so fulfilling to watch God be able to move in somebody else's life through you just showing his love to him.
And then what, getting back to Mark 9.
Full circle.
And what happened,
back to Transfiguration.
You know, and what happened there, you know, Jesus had to gather up. Was that Mark 9? We were
Mark 1, Mark 9.
And, all over there. And then what did he do for Peter? He mixed him breakfast, you said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's in John.
In John.
John 21. Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's miraculous stories, like I said, in that. But think of the simple thing, you know, he laveed. He sat there and he fellowshipped with his disciples, and he cooked the fish up. It says he, you know, let me.
You know, and what need that Peter had there, you know, after he had, you know, messed up, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He had denied him three times.
Failed him, and then he went back to fishing, you know, and kind of just gave up the work of the ministry there and went back to fishing, and then, you know, what did Jesus do?
Yeah, and instead of saying, you know, you can't eat with us because you denied me, you go on. That's not how Jesus was, you know. he said, come, even with Thomas, you know, Thomas, I know you don't believe, but look at this, you know. And so he did, you know, in our language. But it did, like you said, it did say that. It said he, you know, he took the fish. Where was it? I thought it said, yeah, he took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. So he had bread. He, you know, he had the bread made. He cooked the fish for them, you know. He went into hospitality.
He couldn't invite him to his house. He didn't have one.
He was the house.
But exactly. He made preparation right. for him there.
Yeah, he did. He was an awesome guy.
Hey, that's a word, though. Mm-hmm. You know, giving what you have. It blessed me. There was somebody who I knew didn't have anything. And they brought, and sometimes those of us who have a lot don't bring anything to, you know, like young adult gathering or things like that, and we just forget. But this person brought something the first time that they came, and I knew that they didn't have much, and I was like, I don't even know where they found that, but but they brought something. And I think that's a word, that to want to give, to want to show up and give what you have,
right?
You know, and I mean, Jesus, he had everything provided through the Father, but even, you know, he just made do with what he had on the earth.
Right.
And he showed us that we don't have to have everything that we think we have to have.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I mean, he could have. He was rich. He was not poor.
He could have called in whatever he wanted.
He could have called in anything.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, he definitely wasn't hurting, but he made the most of every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Every place that they were at, he could turn it into a home.
Right.
You know,
he sure did.
Because a home is the heart of it. It's the people. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, if you have an empty house, then that's not an empty house without the Lord or without any love, then that's just a building, you know. But even ones who live alone but have the love of God in there and have the Holy Spirit, you know, that's a full home.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's, did you have something?
Pastor Aaron texted in, I believe it's Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 46, that the Lord is getting us back to in the body of Christ. The word fellowship, eating together, and breaking the bread in community.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just throwing extra scripture into what we're talking about.
I'm trying to get to it. It's hard to put these glasses on. Anyway, it says, so those who accepted his, I'm in Acts 2, verse 41, I'm starting there. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And then fear, reverence came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. That's what reaches people, you know, is the compassion, the hospitality. You know, whether we call it glutton or whatever, we like to eat. You know, we like food. Everything is a celebration with food. You know, what are y'all doing? Come on over. We just cooked. You know, whatever. You know, sounds funny, but I'm watching a series because it's hard to find anything decent. So I'm watching The Waltons. And it's during a depression time. You know, they didn't have anything. But in every episode, and there's, I don't know how many, it went on for years. Every episode, they have someone, a stranger, or somebody comes into town or whatever, and they invite them to their house and eat, and the people are changed. Because, you know, maybe one was an airplane guy flying a plane, and he crashed, not really crashed, but he had to land, emergency landing. Well, he's at the Waltons, and they don't know. He's mysterious. And we'll come to find out, he didn't know if he was ready to be a father. You know, he's married. But you know, old John Walton, he helps him. But they invite him to the house to eat. You know, and they break, and every series is that, I mean, every episode is that way of them. Come on in, you know, and have supper with us, you know, and I think that's, you know, I can remember going to my grandma's house all the time to eat and break bread, you know.
But let's take it spiritual. I mean, that should be us in the body of Christ.
Exactly.
Somebody has a wreck. Somebody's in a mess. We invite them in. Come eat of this food that never runs out.
That's
right.
That's good.
I mean, that can be prophetic. Yeah. I feel like that's so prophetic to what we're supposed to do. Yeah. And I think it all ties in together.
It is.
Of what Jesus is teaching us through this. He is teaching us the physical part of it. And I think the spiritual just ties the right in.
That's
right. We're in the school. We're doing this. What do they call them? Life skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're dividing it up in our class, our high school in groups, and doing different things. And me and my sister-in-law are doing some little sewing skills.
Yeah. Sewing on a button.
Yeah, sewing on a button. And it's been real neat because I'm having it at my house. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to fix a few little refreshments.
Yeah.
So far we've done two groups, and we've had, I fixed some cookies, and I fixed sugar things. So I'm sending them back to school.
Thank you. And they love your house. Miss Gretchen's house is so pretty.
Yeah, they all want a tour of the house after they get there. But anyway, I was so blessed because I was introducing my sister-in-law, you know, to the students, because she doesn't know them all. And so she says, I recognize your names, but now I have a face to go with them, because her and Miss Doyle, they have a prayer list. They get the list of all the students, you know.
Oh, okay.
And so she was able to say, oh, yeah, I know your name because I've prayed for you.
Oh, that's good.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, just all of that, you know, with just, I just feel like,
yeah.
Of course, you know, before, you know, Brother Ron passed away, we, once a week, I fixed a meal for someone and we had them, you know, at lunch, you know, they'd come back from lunch, you know, and all different ones that around the ministry and just different people coming in. So,
Yeah,
he loved that.
So Jason Miller says, I'm going to have to turn y'all off. I'm on a liquid diet right now, and y'all are making me hungry with all this talk about food and meals. Somebody bring Jason some broth.
Yeah, I guess I should tell why he's not here today. He yesterday we were in the emergency room. He's diagnosed. He has diverticulitis.
Yeah,
he was in much pain and fever and all like that. So he's, but they found out what the problem is, and they're taking care of it. So.
Now they're going to have you on a diet, Jason.
Uh-oh.
We miss you, Jason. So another listener said, that's funny. I watched the Waltons series last year. I mean, it is a good, wholesome show. It's a little depressing at times. It's so poverty, but
like
they
Little
are.
House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Always something.
Yeah, that's. But every episode, somebody's going to get fed. So, but, I mean, going back to the word of just Jesus and touching her hand and lifting her up, and that's what our goal is. It started yesterday with Pastor Aaron's message, and it's continuing on this morning in us as far as Jesus cooking them breakfast, you know, and like,
can you imagine Jesus? Wait, we're supposed to be getting off of food here for Jason. Can you imagine Jesus making you some broth?
Yeah, can you? I bet that was the best fish they
best
ever
tasty.
Ate, or and bread, you know. But it just God's way, and like Hannah said, maybe you don't have much, but you know, I keep going back to it. One of the episodes of the Waltons, Grandma said, well, here, take these fruit preserves over to this lady, you know, and she was like, oh my God, thank you, you know, fruit preserves, you know, but I mean, I like some fruit preserves myself, but you know, that's how they gave gifts. That's how they gave love. They didn't have money. They couldn't go to, Starbucks and get them a coffee or Bed Bath. I'm not supposed to say names on here, am I? Couldn't give them a gift card to wherever. You know, they couldn't do that. But they went to the tree and they got the fruit and they made preserves and they did those things. Now, I'm not saying we have to go all Amish or back.
But if you think about it, going to the source is, you're doing people a lot more good to give them natural these
exactly.
days.
Exactly. Yeah, organic stuff.
Yeah,
so,
but that's so good. And I'll go into this. We'll probably just wait to take our break at the hard break.
Okay.
Because so we don't have two back-to-back. Right. But, and we'll get to our trivia. If we don't get to the second one, we'll get it. I know we will. In honor of Jason.
We'll get off Jason.
Did you give the first one?
Not yet. Roger can go ahead and answer while we're in here. So, Monday question number one is, what two cities did Jesus say would have repented if they had seen the mighty works done in Chorazin and Bethsaida? What two cities did Jesus say would have repented if they had seen the mighty works done in Chorazin and Bethsaida? Don't think I'm saying that right, but it's okay.
Go look it up.
Brother Greg said, numbers 270-257-2689. Brother Greg didn't say that, but I had to say that. 270-257-2689. Brother Greg said, I'm sure each fish was prepared in the exact way each individual liked it.
Yes. That's right.
That's a cool... With
seasoning to their...
I guess in honor of Jason, he didn't have chili.
Just broth,
hey,
Jason.
Greg, he didn't have chili.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, man. God is so good. And his word, you know, these are the kind of things that come out of the word when you read, you know. Maybe, you know, if you're reading along with us and you're in Mark with us, you know, Mark, either 9 or 12, we're going to find out where we're at. We don't really know. But somewhere in that area we are in, and all the stories about Jesus, about having compassion with the thousands, about lifting up the mother-in-law, you know, all these stories of, you know, cooking them breakfast, you know, in John. And then in Romans, just giving us instruction to love one another, to go after that person, have a hayride. You know, if you can't do a hayride, if you can't have a hayride, then just, you know, hey, I have coffee and I made some peanut butter cookies. You want to come over and just have a peanut? And you'll never know what will happen in that. And your house don't have to be perfect. I had to learn that. My house is not perfect.
Trust me. If there's a will, there's a way.
There is.
Growing up with a lot of kids, throw some kids in a wheelbarrow and start pushing.
Exactly.
We did
exactly.
That.
Yeah.
Pull some kids in a wagon.
Right.
Honestly, I probably got in a wagon even when I was a teenager. I probably would have. if you're bored,
yeah.
You know. But yeah. It's all about what I've learned, I feel like, what the Lord has shown me, is it's not always about the things that we're doing together. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we don't need to be doing sin, so
right.
cut that out.
Yeah.
But it's not always about the activity. It's about the people.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you can do to gather in fellowship, and it's about the relationships being built.
Right.
It's about, you know, it's not worth it to get, say, all your plans start. You're like, well, this is going wrong and this is going wrong. The enemy wants to keep us away from each other, you know, and if he can use little piddly things of our house not being the way exactly that we want it, or, you know, things just not going right, and it wants to keep us from going and doing what, you know, gathering and fellowshipping, then it keeps us from a blessing.
That's right.
And it keeps us from being a blessing.
That's right.
And so it's just,
yeah,
it is. It's a blessing. And, you know, earlier you were talking about when Jesus was lifting up the lady and how he was showing compassion and love. And this is kind of a different segue, I guess. It's off on another note, but I was thinking about how we are his bride. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about him as a loving father, but then I was also thinking about how we as the church are his bride. And I was thinking about as a bride myself, like when I see my husband show compassion and I see him do something that I know is him letting the Lord work through him.
Yeah.
It does something to me. Like it just makes me so... I mean, proud of him, but it's not just proud. It's like a fulfillment and a love that I feel. And I was thinking about that with Jesus. Like when we see Jesus do these things in the scripture, we have that. It makes us feel good like that because he's our husband, like,
that's
or
right.
he's our bridegroom, you know, and he is our protector. He's our,
that's right.
It reminds us of when we see him do that for somebody else, it reminds us of how he did it for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the similar, if our husband, you know, if we see him show that love to somebody else, it reminds us that God's provided him to do that, to be that for us.
That's right.
And the Lord speaks to me a lot through marriage being a reflection of our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so, it's so fulfilling to see that. And and I just was filled with so much, like, when you were explaining that and seeing that image, I was just thinking about that, of how he's our bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
and we can trust him.
Right.
You know, we can trust him, and he's not this scary God.
That's right. No,
you know,
he's not.
Like he has a side to him. Like mm-hmm. even in marriage or in our relationships with each other in the body of Christ, like we're not negating the fact that we got to keep each other accountable. We have to, you know, sometimes lead each other. Like Pastor Aaron was saying, like we need a helpmate to get us on
That's
track
right.
sometimes,
yeah.
But it doesn't. I'm so thankful that God isn't an extremist in the fact that only one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is totally balanced.
That's right.
You know, and we struggle with that because it's right. like, with us, our flesh, we want to be one extreme or the other extreme. But he
yeah.
knows how to be balanced in all things. And we can trust that just because he's disciplining us now doesn't mean that he's not going to lift us up in compassion the next time that we need it.
Right.
So.
And
really
he's
good.
The God that was transfigured. He's my beloved son. You know, listen to him. Well, how do we listen to him? His word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, I'm leaving you the comforter. And he left us the Holy Spirit so that when we read his word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God.
Yeah.
So when we read his word and the Holy Spirit shows us things, and, you know, like with me, it there's just times things just jump off the page and or, you know, and I'm like, oh, he lifted her up. What? You know, and so it's not that, you know, we have anointings on our life in different ways that we learn, but we're no greater than the other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just reading the word, God will show you things, and he'll show you the compassion of Jesus. He'll show you, you know, that he lifted her up. You know, he'll show you where we read in Romans about, you know, love one another and work with another, be at peace with one another. He gives us instruction in everything, but he's the same God that was transfigured
yeah.
and said, this is my beloved son. So he is just an amazing God. He's an amazing
yeah.
being. He's a spiritual being that we love and we worship, but at the same time we know and we sense and his word comes alive. And so, you know, it's just amazing. So we encourage you to get in the word. And that's what we're asking you to follow along with us in Mark. You know, we didn't get very far in Mark. We were in Mark, but we didn't get very far in Mark. But, you know, just finding out, just and as Pastor Aaron said, start out in the New Testament with us, you know. Start out in John, read Psalms, you know, the things that will encourage you. Find your books, find the ones that work for you, that give instruction, that show you, and then God will begin to let things just light off the page for you, you know, and you'll be like, oh, that's a word for me today, God.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and help me to be hospitable. Get it out. Hospitable. I can't get it out.
Somebody, hospitable.
Thank you. I couldn't get it out. Hospitable. To others, and as it said in Acts, you know, they broke bread together. They came together. Don't, you know, don't be secluded. Don't go away and be a recluse and just say, you know, people have hurt me. Church has hurt me. I don't want anything to do with it. Give us all a different, you know, give us another chance. Give the
yes.
body of Christ another chance. We're human beings, you know. Reach out again. You reach out and just maybe take a step or let someone into your life. And we pray for you and we pray that God will show you, like he did with me, lifted her up, you know,
yeah.
whether that meant he took her by the hand and raised her up, she was healed, or whether that means he sat her up in the bed like I saw, I don't know. That's how I saw him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that compassion that comes and it feed somebody today, you know, be a Walton.
It
go
reminds
out there.
Me.
Yeah, invite him to your house.
The song, I Thank God He Picked Me Up. He turned me around.
Place
he placed my feet on solid ground.
I thank
the Master. I thank my Savior. I thank God. It
That's
reminds
it.
Me of that because
right.
He will. He'll
yeah.
do whatever we need. He'll
That's
pick
right.
us up if we need that. He'll turn us around
That's
if we've
right.
turned away. He'll place our feet
That's
somewhere.
Right.
And I love it that he didn't just say, you're healed, get up.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
And there's people he does say, you know, take up your mat
yeah.
and walk.
That's right.
But he didn't just leave them.
That's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like he spoke encouragement
mm-hmm.
to them
mm-hmm.
to be able to do that.
Right.
Or when they needed it, he helped them do it. Like he doesn't just leave us or forsake us.
Right.
He stays with us as
mm-hmm.
we grow and as
yeah.
we get up.
So good. Yeah.
Yes, we will miss Lisa when we come back from the break. So she said earlier she got that feeling, that same feeling of fellowship and pouring into others last June when they did a tent revival. It was such a blessing to gather together with believers and see God move when they had hosted a tent revival. And then she's asking if we can talk about adultery in Mark chapter 10. I said, we can look into that when we go to break and come back. Can you send us the verse to, I mean, we can probably find it, but.
It starts right out, the question in the of beginning. Divorce.
Yeah, okay. So we'll do that. Okay. We'll do it the best that we can. But it's good discussion this morning. And I think, can we go ahead and go to break earlier than the 8 o'clock? Or do we have to go right at 8? Go ahead. Okay. All right. Then I'll go ahead and read that first trivia question again. What two cities did Jesus say would have repented if they had seen the mighty works done in Chorazin and Bethsaida? What two cities did Jesus say would have repented if they seen the mighty works done in Chorazin and Bethsaida? 270-257-2689. All right, we are back here, and we have a trivia answer. We have a winner.
Woohoo!
Miss Elizabeth Higdon got that.
Yay, Miss Elizabeth.
The answer is Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon. I hope I'm saying that right. I don't really know if I'm saying that right either, but there we go.
We don't speak Hebrew, so Greek, whatever it is.
Tyre and Sidon is the answer to that. And I'm going to go ahead and give that second one, the second question, too, and you all can call in at any time. We will be hearing from Brother Jim Waters. He's supposed to be calling in at 8:30, so we have a little bit of time left for Bible discussion before he comes on and with us. But the second Monday question is, the Feast of Tabernacles is a celebration held after what event? The Feast of Tabernacles is a celebration held after what event? 270-257-2689. And this is just an answer, trying to give some not a hint of what it is, but kind of what we're looking for. So the Feast of Tabernacles is a celebration held after what event? And I think if you just give generally the answer of what that would be, there's two different ways of wording it. There's a few different ways of wording it, but there's a main word that goes along with the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you get that main word, then you're good. Okay? All right. So 270-257-2689 is the number if you want to get in on that second trivia question. All right. Now, we have a hard question. Maybe Miss Gretchen can help us with some commentary or her own commentary from her studies. But this is one that has, I'll be honest, has stumped me a lot. I'm still praying into this because it's hard. It's Mark chapter 10, and it really talks about it, the teachings about divorce from verse 1. But it starts to talk about the adultery part in verse 10 or verse 11 of Mark chapter 10. And basically it's talking about how, you know, God instituted marriage for two to become one and to not let anything separate. But then because in verse 5 here, and Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he's talking about Moses here, he wrote to you this commandment, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one. So they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of answers the gender question there. It's a male and a
female. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's settled.
And the question of the Pharisees was, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And so he answered them, what did Moses command you? He allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. So Jesus is answering, he knows the law. So he knows that it is lawful. There is a lawful way to divorce. We know that. And then does anybody know where it talks
about? It's Matthew 5. Verse 27, I'm going to put it all in context here. I'll just read it.
Okay.
You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a written notice of divorce. But I tell you, everyone who divorces his wife, except in a case of sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Now, I've been through a divorce, and my ex-husband committed adultery, and so I struggled with this about remarriage, and I'm going to probably get some flack on this, but I wanted to remarry, okay? He had committed adultery, and so I felt like, but I still was struggling with it. So I found 1 Corinthians 7, and it gives instruction to the married. So if I can read that, unless any, I don't want to take over, so y'all just tell me. It says in verse 10, I command the married, not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to leave her husband, but if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to leave his wife. But I, not the Lord, say to the rest, if any brother has an unbelieving wife and she is willing to live with him, he must not leave her. Also, if any woman has an unbelieving husband and he is willing to live with her, she must not leave her husband. For the unbelieving husband is set apart for God by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is set apart for God by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be corrupt, but now they are set apart for God. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him leave. And that set me free. A brother or sister is not bound in such cases. God has called you to live in peace. For you, wife, how do you know whether you will save your husband? Or husband, how do you know whether you will save your wife? So it was hard for me, and I know we're talking about adultery, and that's a little bit different because it's talking about, it doesn't say whether he committed adultery or not, I know. In my situation, it was adultery, so I was, I guess, rightfully able to move on. I was legally, by the law, able to move on. I don't know how it's all said. But in my heart, I didn't know if I was doing right. And that scripture set me personally. I'm not saying it's for everybody. I'm saying the Lord released me through that scripture because he did depart. And if not, I think you live
and I think him. I think this is a very good example of the Word and the Holy Spirit, because there have been situations where there is adultery in the marriage.
Yes.
And God restored that marriage.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Because he had a plan for to use what the enemy intended for evil and use it for his kingdom and
right.
use it for the good of that family. And I think that's the thing, is seeking him out with scripture like you did, because two situations may be completely
exactly.
different, and God knows the end
yes,
from the
he
beginning.
Does. Mm-hmm.
So God knew that there was restoration ahead for certain
mm-hmm.
marriages,
mm-hmm.
but he knows that there may be a redemption story for
That's
somebody
right.
else. And in the context of his, I never want to say, I mean, I do, I've seen people do this in the wrong way, and I do believe, you know, ignorantly or whatever, and he has still worked it out for the good as
right.
they have, you know, submitted to him and served him.
Well, I did in the same marriage, I did reconcile at one point after adultery. And then years later, it happened again.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I tried. I still tried.
Yeah.
But at one point, the Lord released me through
yeah.
that scripture. And also, it was in Deuteronomy, how long are you going to stay at this mountain? It's time for you to move on. That was my personal. So like you're saying, I think you have to go to the Lord
yeah.
if and ask him, is there going to be redemption in this?
Yes.
And how long do I wait? How long do I believe? I believed for 2 years the second time, just waiting and seeing what the Lord, before I ever was able to move on.
I think that's a very good practical way to encourage people
mm-hmm.
and instruct people too, because I think sometimes we want to jump into things
yes.
you know, or jump out of things, but I think the fact that you were laying it on the altar,
mm-hmm.
anything
mm-hmm.
that we're going through, when we lay it on the altar and we don't you know, come in with what we want.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. I'm sure what we want is easily swayed.
Mm-hmm.
But when we say, Lord, I just want to do what pleases you.
That's right.
So if we lay it on the altar and we reconcile the scripture, we reconcile the situation and we say, God, show me. Mm-hmm. Show me. I'm willing to do whatever you would have me to do. I think that is a very good start for somebody,
right.
for anybody to do, to live in a way that lines up with the scripture
mm-hmm.
and also be led by the Spirit.
And just because that person commits adultery on you, I don't know who I'm speaking to, doesn't mean your love for them goes away. You're hurt, you're devastated. So you're not in a position at that time to really, you have to go to the Lord with it
mm-hmm.
because you'll make bad decisions. You'll make the wrong decisions out of emotions and those things. And so what I did in my life is I put my pastor in place, which was my dad, but I said, I don't know what to do. He said, well, let me be your covering. Let me help you through this. And so whatever he said for a few years there, I did. Now, not in control. I let him. How was I? 40 years old. But I knew my emotions were too wrapped up in it. You know, I couldn't, because I still loved that person at the time, even though they betrayed me, they hurt me, they did all these things, but somehow you still love them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard. You have to break soul ties. You have to let go of that, and you have to get a word from God on it. And At first, I didn't let go. I believed for 2 years. I was on the altar praying for 2 years.
Yeah.
Of how, what, where, how do you do this? Because the love is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though he walked away, the unbeliever left and did not want. Finally, the Lord, I got a word. And you have to get a word.
Yeah.
You have to get a word.
I think that's important.
You have to, because you'll go by emotion. Get men of God, and I'm not being prejudiced, I'm saying a woman's emotions, they're, you know, and I'm a woman. I can say this. There's godly counsel through women. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes a woman will tell, and I had it done to me. Girl, you better leave that. Look, he already did it to you. He's going to do it again, you know. And so it's like, really, you know, you have to be careful. So I had to put someone, and it wasn't just my dad. You know, it wasn't. I had other men there
yeah.
to say, he's fooling you.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing with you. He's playing with your emotions. Where a woman would have been, oh, he's so cute. I mean, you know, maybe can you just forgive him? You know what I'm saying? Look, he apologized, you know. And so you, as women, I'm sorry, I are one. And I can say these things to you. Now, if it's a godly woman praying, standing with you, mm-hmm. believing with you, telling you, no, let's wait on God.
I was
thinking of like the war room.
Yes.
Yeah. You got a woman like that.
You saw two different women like that do the very same things that you was talking about. One that was advising you to go, leave, you know,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And then, but then there was
Sister Claire.
And there was Sister Claire.
You get a Sister Claire, you're good.
Pray her through.
And there are so many in the body of Christ. I don't mean to take away from women at
uh-huh.
all, but I'm saying for me, mm-hmm. my example of being in a marriage where there was adultery, I had to put people in place around me that didn't go by emotions. They saw me crying. They saw me talking to him sometimes. And they'd say, be careful. Be careful. Because they knew. They knew he was not ready,
uh-huh.
you know. So, but I didn't know that. So you have to be careful. So I encourage you, whoever is walking through something like this, run to the Word
mm-hmm.
and get a word from God and put godly people all around you, because you'll fall either back to it when you weren't supposed to, or you'll move too quick into another relationship and get you in trouble.
Now, that's what this is kind of taking us to. This is the hard question, but it is pretty clear, I think, in Scripture. Miss Lisa asked, so if you divorce without the cause of adultery, do you commit adultery when you remarry? And I do think that Scripture is pretty clear on that. But I will say, if this is an unbeliever doing that, if it's somebody who's away from God, there is still forgiveness and there is still redemption. Now,
yeah.
premeditated, like doing it, knowing the truth,
yes.
I do think there's going to be
yes.
a stronger consequence for those of us who, but that doesn't just go with this. That goes with other sin too, that we know is wrong, but we still choose to do it anyway. We've had the revelation, but we still choose to do it anyway. But I mean, what do you all think? I think it's pretty clear.
I mean, I agree with you. I think there are certain situations. I think there's so many
There's grace.
There's abuse. Sometimes there's all kind of situations that are involved in this. So again, the scripture clearly says you are committing adultery, but I think going to the Lord in each say, you know, because it even says it in Corinthians. Let me get it so I don't quote it wrong. It says, it's 7:14, I think it is. And it says, I can't remember how it says it, that each situation is how it says it. I'm trying to find it. Y'all can talk while okay. I find it and I'll come back.
While she's finding that, I do think that the Lord, you know, we see it even in examples, and this is not me minimizing this scripture about adultery and divorce, but we see where Jesus brings a new light to the law. He fulfills the law. And even in, you know, I'm not saying that this is a great example of comparing, but they talk about eating on the Sabbath. And it's not that this is a good example to go along with the teaching on divorce and adultery, but he brings a new revelation to them about remember when David, he did eat and he ate the showbread. And so I'm saying that to say that just like Crystal said, when you put it on the altar, the Lord will give you and lead you into all truth. And so we know that it does say that it's adultery, but when it comes to situations of abuse, when it comes to situations of other things involved that we don't know, but only God knows, he will lead you into all truth. He will never lead you or tempt you to sin. So I would just continue to pray that people would seek the Lord and submit it to him, because he will always lead us into, he's our way of escape. He says, I will be your way of escape. And so, I mean, the quick answer is yes, it does say that it is adultery when you remarry outside of God's exemptions here. But Greg just came in at a good moment. God looks on the thoughts and intents of the heart, not just the letter of the law. And that is true. He sees all. He balances all things. And so
Todd says it is adultery, but it is redeemable.
Yes.
And that scripture I was talking about is same chapter, 1 Corinthians 7, 17. Only let each one, this is amplified, so it's a little different, only let each one seek to conduct himself and regulate his affairs so as to lead the life which the Lord has allotted and imparted to him, and to which God has invited and summoned him. This is my order in all the churches. So every situation is different, but we always got to go back to the Word, and the Word says it is adultery. But again, you have to look at each situation too, and I'm not making excuses. I'm saying, was there abuse? Well, then there may be a time of, counseling. There may be a time of this and that.
And is there unknown adultery?
That's right.
Because I think that we really have to pray every situation different, because there could be adultery that has never been exposed.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And in every sign, there could be abuse. There could be things pointing towards it. But to pray, Lord, expose.
That's right.
Lord, bring light to what has happened.
That's right.
If there's any way possible to redeem this and to... for us to serve you, because I think we have to remember too, before we were ever called to marry someone, we're called to the Lord. He's supposed to be number one. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to serve him and bring glory to him.
Right.
And if we're yoked up with somebody who isn't, we're not, it's not bringing glory to him. You know, there's different ways. There's what Paul said, the staying with the believer, praying for them in hopes that they turn to the Lord. But in a situation like Crystal's, every situation is truly different.
Right.
Because if there's a complete rejection and an unwillingness to repent.
And to this day, they still...
And then the fruit will show.
Right.
The fruit will show what
it's
the Lord...
It's been 20 years.
what the Lord was revealing in the situation. And so we really do have to...
And the redemption comes. And that's the thing. When there is adultery and you're having a hard time let go, it is truly... I stayed single for 14 years. And it was not an easy thing. But I knew it was better to be single than to be with the wrong one. And so even Paul says in that same chapter 7, but go back up, it says, I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them to remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with desire. So God gives instruction in every area. You know, I knew as a single person, you know, that I needed to live a life this way. And I waited and for my husband to come, and he came, and he is, oh my goodness, he is night and day. He is a man of God. He serves God. He's crazy. He loves to laugh. you know, he's, and it works with me because I'm a little, you know, and usually opposites attract, but Todd and I are both extroverts that are, you know, so I think he's more extrovert than I am.
we had a question come in here with this, so... How is it redeemable? What do we mean by it's redeemable after you have committed adultery through remarriage that wasn't lawful? And you all can speak into this too, but what we're saying by redeemable, we're not saying that the sin is okay. Mm-hmm. We're saying that when you repent from any sin,
that's right,
and you turn your heart to the Lord, mm-hmm, and you commit your way to the Lord, just as David was redeemed for his adultery, mm-hmm, we can be redeemed. Mm-hmm. We can be forgiven,
that's
for
right,
that adultery. And mm-hmm, and the Lord will cast it as far as the east is from the west. We see with David's life, he was still known as the man after God's
that's
own
right
heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his mistake and his adultery, it did not count him out of a relationship with the Lord, even in the Old Testament.
That's right.
Even,
mm-hmm,
even, you know, Jesus was still Jesus, but mm-hmm, even before things had been fulfilled.
Even you mentioned it, you know, with when David ate the showbread and all like that, and everything that was going on in that. I'm behind, you know, with the reading, and I just read that, you know.
Yeah.
And I was even thinking about it, you know, just how, you know, we try to put God in a box. We try to put, you know, we have everything kind of regulated out there for us, you know.
Right.
And then if we don't do exactly like how we think the law is, you know, but Jesus, you know, he just met the need, whatever it was,
right,
whether it went according to man's ideas and, mm-hmm, thoughts, traditions, plans, whatever, you know. And so it's just like, it's so hard to say, well, this is the way it is.
That's right.
Every time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because
and if you have committed adultery, mm-hmm, then there is forgiveness,
uh-huh,
and that's what we're talking about, is
with
redeemable.
Uh-huh.
You yes know, I mean, maybe you weren't saved, or maybe you were, I don't know, something bad happened, you divorced, whatever, you remarried, not understanding. God knows, like you're saying, mm-hmm, you can't put him in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what the grossest sin, whatever, it's still redeemable. It's God still forgives. Now, he will correct. He'll put things in order, maybe, and he'll say this. Mm-hmm. But if you've committed adultery and you remarried and you're living in guilt, the Bible says there's no guilt and condemnation in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
If you're now worshiping the Lord. Now, I would go back and repent if you haven't, but don't stay there.
Yeah.
Don't stay in the regret and the guilt and the condemnation. Because what's God going to do? Have you divorce? And then, you know, I don't believe that's the way God would work. You know, I believe he would say, you know, to repent, because mm-hmm there was error what you did. You know, you did do wrong, you mm-hmm know, because my word does say this. But now that you're asking me and I'm revealing it to you, that was wrong.
Yeah.
But
and I do
you're
think,
forgiven.
I think it's important to note, too, that there is redemption and there's forgiveness. But even with David, because I used him as an example, he had natural consequence of his sin,
mm-hmm,
that he had to live with, and
right,
and he still had redemption, and God restored things,
mm-hmm,
to him.
He did,
but there was still natural recourse.
That's
that,
right,
that came.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm you will still always there will be, you know,
there
chaos
seasons, yeah,
things that have been opened up that will follow you, and that's just a part of sin. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about that is you may have to deal with things that was opened up by the sin, but the Lord will always be with you,
make
help
a
you
way
overcome.
That's right.
And he'll not only be with you, but he will use the mistake for his glory,
mm-hmm,
and you'll be able to reach other people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You'll be able to speak
right
into other people's lives, help other people hopefully avoid falling
mm-hmm
in the same
right
temptation.
And we don't see God categorizing sin. Okay?
That's right.
This one's bad. This one's worse.
Yeah.
This one's, you know.
We do that. We're
yeah
like, that
yeah
one's real bad.
And so, and,
but God
and we see so many. I mean, just like we was talking about Peter earlier, you know, and where he really blew it, you know, messed it up and everything. But Jesus prepared a meal for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was part of their fellowship. and then went on to do great.
That's right.
If he had wallowed in what all he had done, he would have never accomplished anything for the
Lord.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think this conversation is so good, and we need to remember this. I pray that we say, Lord, help us to see others in these situations the way that you see them.
That's right.
Help us to treat others who, want the scripture I was going to go to, but I'll get to it again, is the one in, I think it's Galatians, but the restoring, maybe it's Ephesians, those who have fallen, restore,
restore a brother
with a spirit of gentleness.
Spirit of meekness.
Restore such a one. Mm-hmm. And I pray that we learn to do that, because that's what Jesus did. He restored.
Because there was a season in the church where it was not done that way. I know my parents, now this is years ago, okay? I don't know that it still goes on because I'm not out there in different churches, but my parents had both been divorced when they married. They were not saved, and both were cheated on, So they married, it was both their second marriages. So in the church they were in, they were not allowed to have communion because of it, because they were divorced. And so for years they walked in shame. They sat in the back rows, and they didn't go forward because they were divorced, even though neither one of them was their fault. Both were cheated on. But still, the guilt. So when they came into the revelation that God forgives everything, and then they were able to walk free. But for years they didn't. So we don't want to do that to people, and that's not what we're out to do. It is adultery. The scripture says it is, but there's forgiveness with it also.
Amen.
That comes, especially if you didn't know any better. God can still forgive.
I love what Pastor Aaron says about the church is one of the only ones that killed off their own wounded.
That's right.
I think if we would focus on not beating down the ones who are already hurting and struggling, but instead equip the ones who aren't yet to the point where can make this decision.
That's right.
Because we really need to be pouring our energy into educating people before they get married, before they, training them up and warning them, and if they choose to make it, that it's just part of life.
That's right.
You train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it.
When they're mature is what another translation says.
When they mature, there's going to be seasons where we stray. It's scripture talks about it, but we have to focus on not beating down the ones that are struggling, but equipping and just continuing to guide, continuing to love, because that's what the Holy Spirit does.
And instruct, like we're doing here. There was a question, so we're trying to answer it in the best of our ability. We're not saying we have all the answers, but we go straight to the Word. And that's why we read the Word. That's what God says. Sometimes, some relationships that I'll have, I'll say, I didn't say it. God said it. And that's who you have to go to with it. If you don't like what I say, then God says it. But it's a interesting topic. But let's all go back to Jesus touched their hand.
But that, I think it was, thank you, Holy Spirit, because that was, I think, a lot of different ground was covered and good question. So I think listener has said that was helped. It helped.
Good.
So
good.
But we have Brother Jim Waters on the phone. Are you on with us? Can you hear us?
As far as I know.
Okay. We had a heated, well, it wasn't heated, but it was just a controversial topic. Yeah. We bled over a little bit. Good.
You can chime in if you want to, Brother Jim. Just kidding. It's on adult.
Huh? I didn't hear the topic. I just heard.
It's on adultery. Would you like to talk about
that? Let's move on.
Well,
we could talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I'm just joking.
No. Well, we're kind of going to give you the floor unless any of these ladies have anything to ask or add. But go ahead and introduce yourself for any listeners who aren't familiar with you. And then we'll just give you the floor to really just educate listeners on what's going on. Get us up to date with everything that we need to know going on at the Bluegrass Institute.
Yeah, and I've got a little bit of a shortened segment here today. I need to be off here a little bit early just to let you know. It's great to be with you. I'm Jim Waters. I'm the president of the Bluegrass Institute. We are a state-based free market think tank. What does that mean, you say? That means that we offer policy solutions to Kentucky's greatest challenges that are based on the principles that our country was founded on, individual liberty, free markets and free people, and open limited and restrained government. And so our focus as a state-based group is on Kentucky issues in particular, but of course we live in a global community, so a lot of things happening in Washington also affecting us, of course, around the world, affecting us with these tariffs and with the products that we have here in Kentucky are being affected by many of the decisions. But those are the things we work on. You can find us online at bluegrassinstitute.org. That is a new website, so clear out your old information and enter the new bluegrassinstitute.org. And you can reach me at jwaters@bluegrassinstitute.org. And I'd encourage you to check out our website. It really looks good, and we have a lot of good information just there on the front page, very easy to get a hold of. For example, we have the state's most comprehensive school district tracker, and this is right at the top of the home page. You can click on that, and there's a pull-down menu that you can find out how your school district is doing in terms of academic performance, in terms of teachers' pay, and in terms of how much we're spending per pupil in that district. So we have 171 school districts in Kentucky. 164 of them have high schools. So we do have the pull-down menus for 164 Kentucky school districts, and you can find out how your district is doing. I know in the past, much of the information about education spending and performance has been focused on Louisville, Lexington, maybe some other areas like Bowling Green or Northern Kentucky or Owensboro, but here you can find Cloverport Independent, you can find Breckenridge, you can find Hardinsburg, Grayson County, you can find all of those school districts in your area. So, and why does that matter? Because the teachers unions and our governor have been propagandizing about public education now for a while, about fact, offering statements that are not true about what we're spending, that they say we're not spending enough. I think that $23,000 in a Kentucky school district is more than enough to expect that the schools would educate our children. So, and then when it comes to the need for, what is it going to take to improve our schools? That's obviously not more money when you look at how much we've increased spending in those districts. And then the other thing you'll see on there is that our teachers pay, for example, in some cases in many districts has either remained stagnant or gone down for the past several decades. But when you look at the per pupil funding, which we compare on there, it has gone sky high and has rocketed. So where is the money going? It's going to administration. It's going to non-teaching personnel. Too many of our dollars are not getting into the classroom. So the Bluegrass Institute is also, we've also published a report this year, earlier. You can find it on our website about teachers' compensation. And one of our scholars will be testifying in Frankfurt this week about that very issue, about teachers' pay. The unions, it's interesting, the unions fight us on school choice, on reforms, on any kind of character or biblical instruction in a classroom, anything that would speak about the goodness of America and the goodness of our nation or our founders, and yet they can't even get their teachers raises, and they can't even take on the districts and what they're spending on the bureaucracy. They don't even pay attention to that, so I thought a union was supposed to represent its members, but apparently they're more concerned about their ideology than they are their members, or certainly about the kids. Albert Shanker, who was the president of the American Federation of Teachers for many years, a very honest, blunt kind of guy, one time said that when children start paying dues, we'll represent their interests. So somebody's got to look out for the students and the families that are involved here, and the Bluegrass Institute is going to do that. I did want to mention that one of the things we're hoping the legislature will do in this upcoming session is to strengthen the ability of parents in one public school district to send their children to a school in a different public school district without having to pay tuition or without being denied for no reason. The only reason that they can be denied that option is if the school district they want to send their child to or the school they want to send their child to has already reached capacity. And so to really determine that, we want school districts to have to be more transparent about what kind of capacity they have to accept more students and to accept parents who may say, hey, I found a public school in a different district that's better for my child than the school they've been assigned to in this district. And so we're hoping that the legislature will, will step up and strengthen those open enrollment laws. Many other states are doing that, and we think that would be a good way in Kentucky, particularly with the lack of options we have or the lack of school choice we have here. That would be a good way to give some more parents some options. So, and one other thing I'd like to mention on education, if you're a homeschooler or you're concerned about this, beware, because I think there's every few years we have attempts in the Kentucky legislature to further regulate homeschooling and get the government and public education more involved in regulating that. And the reasoning given for that is that that a lot of parents or that some parents are taking their kids out of the public education system because they're not doing well and they're truant and they don't want to have to deal with that, and they're just saying they're homeschooling kids and they're not really doing that. I'm sure that there's some of that going on, but look, we're talking here about a public education system that can't even fulfill its mandates and its requirements and to educate our kids and adequately. I mean, I don't think that having only 1 in 3 children in our public education system who could read and do math at grade level proficiently, I think they need to focus on their own issues. Mm-hmm. And not try to be regulating homeschoolers. I can tell you this right now that I would much rather a few parents get away maybe with something they shouldn't than to regulate this whole thing. And they're going to find out, by the way, if they do this. I know the homeschooling communities here in the state will not tolerate this. And I would just say the legislators who may follow this program and their constituents, you should not even go there. I would recommend you not even float that idea at all, because you will receive a strong response, I think, in response to that. So so those are some of the things I wanted to mention, that Bluegrass Institute also will not tolerate more government interference in homeschooling. The whole point of homeschooling is that parents are free to educate their children as they see fit in the best way for their particular child. And we know from studies, we know from research upon research, mountains of evidence that, you know, it's not the educational level of a parent. That was something else that the legislature a few years ago, some of the anti-school choice and big teacher union proponents in the legislature were trying to say is that a parent should have at least a certain amount of education. But here's the thing, is the studies have proven it's not the educational level of parents that result in successful homeschooling. It's the bond that they create. It's the closeness they have with their children. It's the daily interaction. And I can tell you this. Universities and colleges are knocking down the doors of homeschoolers and their families, wanting them to come to their colleges and universities, saying these are the best educated, these are the best prepared children, they're the best prepared for college life, and the most well-adjusted kids, because they know what they believe and they're self-disciplined and they know how to work academically. So,
Brother Jim, this is Hannah speaking. I can attest to that firsthand in my experience of going to college. I had several friends at my. It was a Christian university, Christian based, and I had several friends who were a lot better at studying, who were homeschooled. They were a lot more disciplined, and their grades definitely showed for it. So I can be a firsthand witness of that.
There you go. Well, and you know, the opportunities for homeschoolers have changed a lot, and for families. There's so much more curriculum available online. You can order it, there's the opportunity to really fashion and create and shape an educational experience that works for each child. And depending on their ability to learn, and I've shared this many times, our oldest daughter, we discovered she was a visual learner. And once we discovered that as a homeschooling parent, we were able then to tailor her educational, work in that direction so that she was more successful with that. So those are the kinds of things that we need to be allowed to have happen. And, you know, I don't think that that there's any reason not to allow that. And I don't think we need more regulation. I don't think that's going to help improve that. And before public education bureaucrats begin to try to tell homeschooling parents how to do it and what they're doing wrong, they need to get their own house in order. And that's even a biblical concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's see some of that in our education system.
Amen. That's good. I have two different children that homeschool our grandchildren, yeah. And they each have, one has six and one has five. So, and I think we're not on here to promote just homeschooling, but the fact that they don't have the stress of fitting in or all the things that happen in a public school. You know, they can concentrate on their studies, and a lot of the studies can be done right in the home or out in the yard for science, you know, and it's just a more comfortable environment.
Well, I'm going to press a little bit and say I think that Christian parents, whether they homeschool, whether they are in public school, whether they are in a Christian school, you know, the responsibility for our children is ours.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to know work to find out what works best for your children. I've had a lot of parents through the years say, oh, I could never homeschool my child. I'm not patient enough. I'm not this. If biblically we have the responsibility to do whatever we need to do to make sure our children get the best
mm-hmm.
possible start. You know, train. I heard you say that. Train up a child in the way the way they should go, and that's a holistic thing. That wasn't just one area. That was to be every area of their lives, I think. And this is not to say we as homeschooling parents are perfect, because we're far from it. But I think being conscientious about this, and then you bring up another good point about, you know, I've had people say, well, our kids need to be in school so they could be around, you know, so they can be around, you know, have diversity and be around different kinds of people and all this. And I understand that, but what the universities are saying, even the recruiters are saying, these kids, they know, you know, they have a set of values, they have a set of beliefs mm-hmm. that they already have, and that they, while they are open to new ideas, they know what they believe. And I think this is really important for Christian
That's
parents
right.
to understand that, it's important for a child to get that foundational teaching and beliefs. And then I think they can face the challenges. You know,
mm-hmm,
they'll be
right.
well prepared for that.
That's right.
So
grounded, yes.
Grounded. You know, we have family members and people well-intentioned, you know, saying, oh, your kids are going to be hermits. And, you know, if you homeschool, your kids are going to be, you know, they're not going to be socially adaptable and all this kind of stuff.
But do we want them to be socially adaptable to the society that we're living in right now? Well, that's the question.
And there's so many homeschool.
They were saying, well, they're going to be socially, deaf.
Yes.
You know, they're gonna be, you know. So, but what turned out was just the opposite. And of course, we were in Bowling Green for 24 years, and the Barron River Homeschool Association. They're a great, great group, and we had entire Girl Scout troops that were all homeschooled.
Yeah.
You know, and some of our kids will have lifelong friends from that. And plus, the homeschooling community was able to meet the needs of their students as they arose. So, yeah. And as they were needed. So if there were a group of kids or a couple of three or four or five kids that needed help with math, some kind of advanced math, those families would do a co-op and they would hire a tutor from Western Kentucky University who would come in and teach and work with the kids on that math area. And so, there were all kinds of opportunities. And I really think that since COVID hit, I think, you know, homeschooling families were well prepared for that. Think about that. And then we saw a lot of micro schools, a lot of families that formed their own schools. And there was some talk in Frankfurt from some anti-school choice politicians about trying to regulate them. And we stepped up and said, that's not going to happen on our watch.
That's right.
Well, I think that's important that you're bringing that up, because I know that there was a lot of fear with school choice and voting on school choice. There was a lot of fear coming from homeschool parents.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, if we could. Mm-hmm. I think there was a misunderstanding, and of course, the ballot, the way that Kentucky works, voting on a constitutional amendment is different than a poll, okay? So we know from our polling that school choice, the idea of school choice, was I got a positive response from a majority of voters across the board. So Republican, Democrat, Independent. Republican was well north of 70%, Democrats north of 50%. So a majority, even of parents there who may have been Democrats, Independents around 60%. However, on the constitutional amendment, it was 65-35 against that. And our Supreme Court in Kentucky has said that you could no longer summarize or explain a ballot measure. It has to be the exact language that's going to be in the Constitution. So that when that happens, it becomes more of a legal statement, it becomes more legal language, because it has to be able to stand up against legal challenges. So our legislators did the best they could with that in terms of the restrictions on that. But I think there was also some misunderstanding that if this amendment passed, it would allow government to regulate or get their hands involved in what homeschoolers or what private schools taught or their curriculum or how they operated, which is not true, because the program, the policy that we were promoting and that did pass a few years ago but was struck down by the court, would have allowed individuals and businesses to make a contribution to a nonprofit organization called a scholarship granting organization, and the scholarship granting organizations would have then given out those dollars to students who qualified in order to use those dollars for a Christian school education, private school, for educational services or materials. Government would never have touched those dollars. There was no government involved with that. Mm-hmm. The only thing there would be even remotely close is that the individuals and businesses who made those contributions would then have been able to claim those as a credit against their state tax liability. Mm-hmm. But there was no government involvement in those scholarships, in the determining of how private schools would operate. But there was, I think there was unfounded concern by homeschoolers and by private schoolers that somehow or other this would open the door to government interference. And I want to let you know, this is from a homeschooling parent, a strong Christian who knows what's going on in the public education system. Do you think I would support something that did that? No way, no how. I would never support anything like that. So if this was going to allow government to dictate what a Christian school taught or what a homeschooling family taught, I would have no part of it. In fact, I would be opposing it myself. Mm-hmm. So I think there was some fear-mongering that went on, and we have some more work to do on educating people about how this works. But look, we have a lot of strong Christian groups in other states, many states around us, Indiana, Tennessee, West Virginia, even Illinois has strong charter schools, strong school choice, and nothing like that has happened in any of those states. There has been no opening of the door for government in those states to come in and tell homeschoolers or private schools what they can teach Christian schools, what they can teach, what they can't teach, how they can operate, who they have to hire, none of that. Mm-hmm. So I do think that was a problem, and I think that was something we need to probably focus on. But I can guarantee you this guy would be involved if that was the case.
That's what I was thinking when you were, you know, talking about fighting for the rights of homeschoolers. So I just thought maybe you could hit on that. But is it time for you to go further, Waters?
It is, but I'd like to encourage everyone again to go to our website, bluegrassinstitute.org, and you can email me at jwaters@bluegrassinstitute.org, and I'd be happy to answer if you have questions. Anyone has questions out there about that issue or any issue involving education policy or our economic position here in Kentucky or government, would love to hear from you. And thank you all for having me on today, and please have a great day.
You too, Brother
Jim. Thank
you. Good to talk to you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was a great time with Brother Waters, and hopefully that clears up some waters, some muddy waters for people out there. Oh, Waters.
Play on words.
I wasn't even thinking about that. But yeah, I've heard a lot over that. But I appreciate him laboring to really make things clear for us. And I think I hear a lot of things, and I see a lot of things on social media of people's opinions and fears on these matters. Mm-hmm. And I think I would rather trust somebody who's doing the work and mm-hmm. who has firsthand sources in the matter rather than just what somebody says on Facebook. So hopefully.
I'm glad he brought that up about if he had any worries about or fears of government intervention there, he would have never be fighting for it.
Be promoting it and fight. Yeah,
he'd be against it too.
Because he is a homeschool parent, and mm-hmm. they are actively right now. Others are, you know, he was talking about trying to come against the homeschoolers and trying to regulate. And mm-hmm. and BIPS is actually fighting for rights of homeschool mm-hmm. homeschoolers
and charter schools
and charter schools. Mm-hmm. So that was good. Well, thank you guys for interacting with us today. We had some people updating us. Praise God, Israel hostages have come home. Have you guys seen anything about that?
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That's awesome.
Yeah, they have come home, and let's see. I have not read anything on it, but listeners are saying hostages have been released and 20 are still alive. So
wow.
It's a really small number compared to all of them, but thank God that 20 are still alive.
Oh, wow. That's
so,
awesome.
Haven't got a chance to look into that yet, and we do still have a trivia question left over, but we'll get to that the rest of the week. So Roger has shown us that.
What's the prize this time? Or we do not know yet.
I don't know. It's unknown.
unknown.
Maybe
prize.
We can do something fall themed. I don't
maybe
know.
Somebody will bring some fruit preserves.
Hey, we did have somebody bring fruit preserves during Share-a-thon.
Oh, really? So
I didn't try any of it, but it looked good. A few different kinds, I think. And then some fancy cheese. I was like, wow. I like this.
Yeah,
it's like bringing your offerings like
it's the
old school
Waltons
way.
All over. That's right. We love the Waltons.
Yeah. So... But anyway. I've loved the interaction today, and thank you all for updating us on the hostages situation, and praise God for that. Have you all sent any books out from Share-a-thon yet? I don't think we've sent any. We will be getting on that, but we have given books out to people who have came here, or mm-hmm. we've been able to get it to them. But those of you who we need to mail them, we will get with you on that. And I think there's only a few that need, maybe one or two that mm-hmm. have to be mailed. But we will. Thanks for that reminder. That book, have heard great things about it. And
what's the book?
It is the Person Inside, I believe it's called, mm-hmm. and it's Miss Myra. She had came on and shared some of her testimony. The book is her testimony, mm-hmm. and it's walking through healing after abuse.
Oh,
she
wow.
has a powerful story mm-hmm. of abuse, probably similar to, now I've heard her testimony through the radio, but I know like Joyce Meyer mm-hmm. is a familiar one mm-hmm. that shares her
testimony,
walk through healing after abuse. And I'm not saying comparing that they're the exact same, but that's similar mm-hmm. Situation. So I love the cover art on it. It's like the inside of a person and then the outside, and it has like words that have been spoken over her
wow.
life, and it
yeah.
has those words inside of the silhouette.
We don't have time for that teaching. That's
no,
what.
No. So maybe we can, you know, get her on again eventually in the future. But she came on during Share-a-thon, and a lot of people were like, I want that book. So
yeah.
they got on that, and it helped us raise some funds.
Mm-hmm.
And
she attends the Bible study with at Renee's go-to.
Was she there whenever I had been there? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know it was her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Well, thank you guys for tuning in with us. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.